Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, she's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
And I welcome you today to CSE Talk Radio. It is my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to be here with you today. I have with me today our good friend. I told you she was coming. I told you we were going to talk about one particular topic, and we will get to that later in the show. But we have Marita Noon with Energy Makes America Great. How are you today, Marita?
I'm mighty fine, thank you.
Well, that's good. You know, we've had an awful lot going on in the last few weeks. I hope you had a good 4th of July.
I did, and I hope the same for you as well.
I did. It wasn't as wild as it has been, but in the past, but that's okay too. They in this little community, they do their fireworks display, and it's pretty good for small town USA. And they do it right there in the park where I live, right across on the dam of the lake. There's a little lake there, and so we have a free backyard seat, and we get to watch the fireworks display, and it's
well,
pretty,
how nice.
It is. It's nice. It's cheap. You know, you go back in the house and eat. After the fireworks, we always have root beer floats, so we do good.
Well, that sounds like a fun tradition.
It is. Well, you've been a busy girl with all the writing you've done again this month, and you do a wonderful job, and I do appreciate all that you do. So I thought we'd just go through these articles one by one and talk about what's been happening, and I thought it was kind of a turn of events here from the first to the third article. I thought there were some things that had transpired, and I thought that was kind of interesting, too. But renewable fuel standard reform, you've written that about, will 2015 be the year? And there's lots of things going on with the renewable fuel, but I thought I'd let you kind of get into this article just a little bit.
Well, you know what? What that specifically is about is the EPA's new it's so crazy what they do. Congress back in 2005 and then revised in 2007 passed a law mandating a certain percentage of renewable fuel, particularly ethanol, be blended into gasoline every year. And the law is really flawed by today's standards for a variety of reasons. But even if you think ethanol is the greatest thing in the world, which I am not in that camp, but even if you're in that camp, the rule is flawed in that it was based on an assumption, or the law is flawed, because it was based on an assumption of ever-increasing usage, assuming that Americans were going to continue to use more and more and more gasoline. Remember, this was 2005. And then 2007, it was revised. So this was before the so-called crash, the economic problems that the United States and, in fact, the world has had. And so the combination of increasing fuel efficiency and bad economics, meaning fewer people going to work, meaning fewer people driving, and an aging population, all have combined to lower usage of gasoline in America. But the law, written back in 2005/07, mandated not an increasing percentage of ethanol, but an increasing what they call volume, which means gallons of ethanol. So the amount of gallons of ethanol being produced by law keeps increasing, while our gasoline usage keeps decreasing. And so what's happened is we've hit what the auto manufacturers call a blend wall. And we, in order to use what the law requires, it damages especially older engines. Newer engines are made to be able to handle this. So we have a real problem. So EPA has some regulatory discretion to determine how much ethanol must be blended in every single year. However, the law is so flawed that the EPA can't get these regulations out on time. So at the end of May, the EPA released their targets, they call it, for 2014, which realized is long past, 2015, which we're in the middle of, and 2016. But in June, there was a hearing in Congress addressing the flaws of the regulation and how on earth can we possibly continue this way. And the EPA admitted that especially for cellulosic ethanol, which later in the law, which we're now in the later in the law part, is supposed to escalate dramatically, while corn ethanol is supposed to decrease. But the biggest problem is cellulosic ethanol basically in commercial quantities does not exist. So that kind of lays out the basic problem.
It isn't economically feasible what they're going through to get the ethanol out of that.
Correct. I mean, especially the cellulosic ethanol. I mean, corn ethanol, we've been doing it in this country for a long time. We know how to do it. We actually do it pretty well. And my sources tell me within the industry that even if the whole law gets taken away, I mean, there are people who want to repeal the law, people who want to revise the law. And when I say people, I'm meaning legislators. Legislators, mm-hmm. Some say we just need to repeal the whole law. It was a bad law. Some say, well, we need to revise it to make it realistic for where we are today. And I certainly agree that one or the other needs to take place. But sources in the industry that I talk to tell me that even if the law is totally repealed, we are still going to continue to blend 10% ethanol into our gasoline. And 10% ethanol works quite well, and there's some advantages to it, which I'm not an engineer enough to go into to explaining what they are, but there are some advantages to a small volume of ethanol in our gasoline. However, they want to be able to have some gasoline available without ethanol for small engines, marine engines, and older vehicles. So a lot of people think it shouldn't be mandated, and I would be in that camp, but that even if we take away the mandate, corn ethanol is not going to go away. But the cellulosic ethanol, the ethanol that is made from non-food products such as wood chips, has just not been commercially viable. So there's a lot of talk in D.C. about this is perhaps the year that there's going to be a revision, at least, if not a repeal, in this law that requires ethanol.
And one of the arguments that I have heard around about the ethanol is it doesn't make sense to be burning our food. But the cellulose, that one is different because it's not the food product. It's the husks and the other things that no one ever eats. It's just garbage. It's just trash. And so they're trying to turn that into. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why that's the exact argument of why Congress set the law up the way they did, that it used lowering amounts of corn ethanol, which of course the farmers don't like, mm-hmm. and it was to use increasing amounts of cellulosic ethanol. But I have a colleague of mine who I refer to on such things, who was involved in setting up many of the early ethanol refining facilities, and is a energy economist specializing in agriculture, an interesting blend. And he explained to me why the cellulosic ethanol is really never going to take off, because it takes three times as much raw product of cellulosic to create the ethanol to produce that.
And yet it's just economically, it's not there yet, and they just haven't been able to get it done the way it needs to be done efficiently. And we're going into a break. And I want to go on to the next article here, Marita, because I like the way they all, of course, they're all about energy, but they all kind of blend together. And by the end of the articles, we've got a pretty good connection of all that's going on here in the last month. You're listening to CSE Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 877-895-5410. That's 877-895-5410. I'm visiting today with Marita Noon. Energy Makes America Great. You can go to that website, energymakesamericagreat.org, and we will be right back.
Are you frustrated with your current job? Not making the type of money that you know you are worth? Is it time for a change? Maybe it's time you considered starting your own home-based business. Autopilot Marketing has helped thousands of people, just like you, get started working from home. Whether it's an extra $250 to $500 per month part-time or a six-figure full-time income, anything is possible. You don't need any special skills or experience. Anyone can succeed with Autopilot Marketing. Take our free video tour and find out if this opportunity is right for you. Go to income23.com now. That's income23.com. Take our free video tour today and start earning money as early as next week. Go to income23.com. That's income23.com.
A girl needs accessories. So does a website these days. It's not enough to have just one accessory either. CSC Talk Radio is excited to announce we have an app for that. You can now listen to CSC Talk Radio easily on your smartphones, Android or iPhone. We have an app for that. Share this app-portant news with your friends and family. They can now join in the common sense. Calling all patriots. We have an app for that. Visit csctalkradio.com and download the app. Listen to live streaming or the show's podcast designed for Triple L. Listening later leisurely. Accessories are necessary. Join CSC Talk Radio on your phone. We've accessorized. Visit csctalkradio.com and download the app. Working with technology to bring America home. We have an app for that. csctalkradio.com. csctalkradio.com.
You stroll out to the barn to check on those calves, kids, or lambs, and at first glance, you know something is not right. A weak kid, a calf who cannot nurse, or a ewe who does not have enough colostrum for her newborn lambs. Your role switches from caretaker to rescuer. In these situations, minutes count. Having the right products on hand is vitally important. Visit the animal care category at HanbyDairySupply.com to stock up on your medical needs. At Hanby Dairy Supply, they understand because their family has been raising livestock since 1954. With their years of experience, they can help you with your needs, including planning for those livestock emergencies. Visit HanbyDairySupply.com for colostrum, Energy Plus energy supplements, Formula 911, and a rest drench product. Stock up today and be prepared. HanbyDairySupply.com or give them a call at 1-800-306-8937. And we have returned. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I'm visiting today with Marita Noon of Energy Makes America Great. You can visit her website by going to energymakesamericagreat.org. We have a caller from Arkansas. We have Joe with a question for you. Marita, how are you today, Joe?
Yeah, I'm doing just fine. And how are you, Beth?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
All right, my question is this. About a month ago, I heard a man talking who's involved in a car development project in China. And he described a development that they've got going there that sounds like it's going to be pretty significant for the energy market. And what he said is that they've developed a way to make a car body out of a very strong and very lightweight plastic there, so that this car body weighs about one-tenth as much as a steel car body does. And he says they're making it electric, so that the thing is going to get a lot more mileage out of a charge of electricity than electric cars generally do right now. And I would think if they put a gasoline engine in it also, it would get much better mileage than the gasoline engines do right now, you know, because of the lightweight body. And so I wanted to ask Marita, do you know anything about this? This sounds like it's not something like it's going to affect the energy market pretty significantly.
Well, I do. I'm not familiar with that at all. But if what you're saying is accurate, it does have that potential. And that's part of what I was saying in the last segment about we're using less and less fuel, gasoline, because of the efficiency of vehicles. They're made out of, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the Ford pickup trucks are now being made out of aluminum rather than steel, which is much more lightweight. And we've got a lot smaller vehicles. And that certainly there is a trend towards that. So what you're describing would continue that trend and would reduce the need for gasoline. but I'm not familiar with it. But it does sound like it continues that trend.
Well, I would also think that light vehicles like that would have less impact on the roads than the heavier vehicles. Therefore, they've got no excuse for raising the gasoline tax.
Well, you know, we've still got all those big diesel trucks that are out there, and that's really where the wear and the tear on the roads, the bulk of it does come from. And a car like what you're describing, while I have not seen the news story on it, would be a very small car, and I might guess that it would only have three wheels. That's a guess. I haven't seen it. But I would guess that that's going to be like the smart car. It's going to have a very small, at least in the United States, it will have a very small customer base. There is a market for very fuel-efficient small vehicles, but in general in America, we tend to like our trucks and our SUVs, and if you've got a big family, it's hard to get into one of those things. So it can impact it, but it won't totally, I would guess, it would not totally change the entire energy market.
And I kind of go back to, and maybe both of you can relate to this, you know, those little vehicles, while they're economic when you're running around, if you really take a trip on the highway, I wouldn't feel very safe in those. I guess maybe they are, but I just wouldn't feel very safe.
No, actually, they're not. They're not. I mean, that's part of, I'm glad you brought that up, Beth Ann, because I wanted to point that out, that the Highway Safety Association or whatever, I may not have that name correct, has really done a lot of research on this and has found that, you know, I mean, this is like you say, and they do research on this, but they found that, you know, you have a higher chance of fatality in an accident in a little car than you do in a big car.
You know, Joe, when I was raising my five sons and they were all learning to drive, we had a station wagon. We called it the tank. Well, one of them did manage to wreck the tank, but I just felt safer if those boys learning to drive were in bigger vehicles. There was a little more space between them and another hit. But, you know, then we had a van after that.
Your imagination.
What's that?
Not just your imagination.
No, I know it's not, but I thought maybe they had improved some of these things, but these little bitty things that are driving around, I'd be afraid to death to get on the main highways like the interstates and with that, you know, it'd be kind of scary. I'm kind of small anyway, so I'd really be kind of, really feel a little bit vulnerable there. Joe, anything else you want to say?
Well, I don't recall that he said anything about the size of the car that they're developing in China, but if this plastic, you know, if this very lightweight, very strong plastic auto body that they're developing is what he says it is, what it sounded like he said it was, then I don't suppose there's any reason why they have to make them small. I suppose they could make a much larger vehicle out of that kind of plastic,
too.
It would still be very lightweight and get very good mileage.
I just was mentioning that that's the trend. That has been the trend, is to smaller, lighter weight, more efficient vehicles. And I just quickly Googled that, and I haven't found anything in a quick Google on these cars that you're talking about. So if you see anything, I'd love for you to send it on.
Yeah, send
it on. Well, next time I talk to him, I can get more information about that.
Okay, appreciate that, Joe. Thank you. Moving on to the next article here, I was very interested in. In fact, I'm very tempted because I really, really love the last paragraph in the article. I was really tempted to start the article with the last paragraph, but I guess that'd be like reading the end of the book. So I won't do that. But I. You're dealing with the climate change and the issue with the Pope. And, you know, it's I kind of titled it Leaning on the Pope, because you mentioned several things here. You know, when they don't want to accept the Christian values in other ways, man, they jumped on the bandwagon with the Pope and his climate, his stance for climate and poverty, climate change and poverty, and or global warming and poverty or whatever. And I just thought we'd just discuss this just a little bit, but I thought it was kind of ironic as well, as you did.
Yeah, it's strange bedfellows there that, you know, we've got people who are advising the Pope that disagree with the Church on virtually everything, but yet suddenly when they can get his ear and get him to agree on this one thing, they're all palsy-wowsy.
Oh, yes, they're all palsy-wowsy. And I thought it was just interesting, you know, and then, you know, when you went on in this article, you did end up, you know, I wrote an article here just a while back about, yes, there is climate change. Well, I was talking about the climate of attitudes in the United States.
And, yes, most definitely.
So there definitely has been a climate change there. And you kind of went the same, a similar direction in this article, which I thought was kind of interesting. Great minds run the same direction, or weird minds run the same direction. But
let's go with great.
We'll go with great. We'll go with that. We'll just do that. But then you also had listed in here the change in the government's attitude toward wind energy. And because we're talking about in this, I think I've got the right article in front of me here, don't I? Yes.
Yeah, it's in Europe.
I've got them all stapled together. But they've
everything I'm talking about in that article is in Europe, because the Pope has one of the reasons that he's addressing climate change apparently is that he believes that it's going to climate change is going to hurt the poor. And my premise is that the policies that the Pope is now touting along with his green atheistic friends are those policies are actually hurting the poor. And I outline three specific news stories that make my point. And one of those, as you brought up, Beth Ann, is in England, specifically with the new government, because they have a Tory majority there, which is their conservative side, their conservative party. And they're cutting funding for green energy projects, and specifically wind energy or wind turbines in England.
Well, and then I thought it was interesting, the Conservatives' manifesto, that we were talking in when you're talking about the change in the government's attitude toward wind energy. And so they've got this little list here, and I thought that was interesting. I thought I would share that. Keep energy bills as low as possible. Wouldn't it be nice if the EPA would adopt these? 2, halt the spread of onshore wind farms. 3, back a significant expansion in new nuclear. 4, continue to support development of North Sea oil and gas and the safe development of shale gas, and not support additional distorting and expensive power sector targets.
Yeah, those are specifically the things that the Conservative Party, the Tories, ran on, and they won a decisive victory in England, and an unexpected decisive victory at that. And so they're moving ahead with those plans. Just there was something new that came out a day or so ago about that they're cutting some more green funding in the new budget that just came out. There are additional cuts, so they're definitely moving that direction.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Marita? I lost connection for just a second. We're going into a break anyway, yeah. So hang on to that. We're going into
All right.
break. Your calls are welcome at 877-895-5410. That's 877-895-5410. We're visiting today with Marita Noon. Energy Makes America Great. You can visit her website by just going to energymakesamericagreat.org, or you can go to my website and click on the icon and go straight there. Energy Makes America Great. Marita and Beth Ann will be right back.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Mm-hmm.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-473-7921, 800-473-7921.
Alexis de Tocqueville once stated, "America is great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." To know where we are going, we must remember from whence we came. Looking back in our American history, we can see the hand of God. He wrought many miracles in our nation and brought us through much to be a nation under Him, a nation under God. We've forgotten from whence we came. America has lost her greatness. America ceases to be good because we've forgotten our God, who is all that is good. Sue and Bill Federer have compiled 32 truths, which in our history show the hand of God, His answered prayers, His miracles, and His mercy on our nation. For only $22, Miracles in American History will encourage and uplift you. Order Miracles in American History. Send $22 to CSC Talk Radio, Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018, or order online at csctalkradio.com.
What every American needs to know about the Quran, a history of Islam and the United States. Bill Federer has done it again. He makes history come to life, and current events all connect that to history. Sultans conquered the 1,000-year-old Byzantine city of Constantinople. Jefferson sent Marines to stop the Muslim Barbary pirates of Algiers and Tripoli. Woodrow Wilson tried saving millions of Americans killed in Turkey. History that affects you and me today. In 2006, Keith Ellison was the first Muslim elected to the U.S. Congress. He swore on a Quran. What does this mean? Educate and activate. We shouldn't form opinion or initiate actions before we know the truth. Purchase your copy of What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran today. Send $22 to CSE Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri 65018, or order on the website at csctalkradio.com. That's $22 for the history of Islam and the United States.
Wow, did you see that? I think somebody had some work done, like a facelift. No, not Beth Ann, her website. Yep, CSC Talk Radio has had a facelift for sure. A new logo and a new fresh look. Visit csctalkradio.com. CSC Talk Radio is a coalition of conversations between Beth Ann, you, and all America. So the look incorporates all America, from sea to shining sea. Beth Ann is truly in the middle of the nation, reaching out to all America as she continues her journey to bring America home. Join in the conquest for truth on CSC Talk Radio. In the next several months, CSC Talk Radio will be reaching out in different ways to help keep you informed. Get involved and share the education. As always, Beth Ann needs your help and support. Visit the website. Support our sponsors. Join the show on Facebook. Follow Beth Ann on Twitter. Contribute as you can. Whether on air, online, or social media, we need all avenues as we bring in the fold and bring America home.
Listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I'm visiting today with Marita Noon. With Energy Makes America Great, we're talking about energy. We're talking about our fuels. We're talking about the EPA and the policies and the things that have happened around the and are happening. And we do have some callers. We have John from New York. Marita, John, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Beth Ann. I just wanted to refer back to the China car, that small car with a plastic harder than steel.
Okay.
Henry Ford already did that in the late 40s. Anybody can Google Henry Ford hemp car. The plastic we had was a hemp composite.
Oh, it's a hemp. Okay. All right.
The plastic. Well, I don't know about China's car, but I know Henry Ford developed that car, and it's an old, old black and white video. It shows him hitting the back end of it with a sledgehammer, the sledgehammer bouncing off, and they said it's, I don't know, half the weight of steel and 10 times stronger.
Hemp is supposed to be that. So, okay.
Google it. Henry Ford.
Okay, we'll have to check that out, John.
Okay,
I appreciate
that. That's all
that.
I wanted to say.
Okay, have you ever heard of that, Marita?
I haven't, but I will give it a look.
Well, you know, they kind of outlawed that hemp, and it's really a pretty good product in the industrial age. Let's see. We have John from Missouri. John, what's on your mind today?
You're talking. Are you there?
I'm here. Yes, sir.
Okay, I was listening to you all. We're talking about subsidies for wind energy and alternative energy stuff. And I was just thinking, you know, how much of the military budget that we use to defend the Middle East should be considered a subsidy to oil companies?
Well, interesting concept, an interesting concept. We were going to get into a little bit more of the funding here in just a few minutes in another article.
We spend a huge amount of blood and treasure defending oil reserves.
Yes, we do.
And
well, I mean,
spend $4 on gas, might add. I'll let you comment. Thank you, ma'am. You're doing a good job.
Okay.
Go ahead, Marita.
But I just want to say, you know, that's been a valid debate before America became the energy superpower that we really are now. And what we're fighting over there, I think, has far less to do with oil and far more to do with containing ISIS, who's, coming into our shores and impacting our communities here as well. So I think that argument is less valid today than it might have been a few years ago.
Well, and that's true. I think we've created a monster. Now we've got to do something about it. But we definitely created a monster. Well, let's move on to your next one. And that's the one I've been telling my listeners that we were going to talk about as soon as you got on the air. And that was the Supreme Court.
Thanks.
You know, that particular week, the Supreme Court threw us a couple of bad ones. You know, we're pretty upset about some of them, and particularly the Obamacare one where it they definitely trump the Constitution. But then I thought, then they throw this one where they go against the EPA, and I'm thinking, did they really throw us a bone just to, calm us down after they got us all riled up? And then again, when I read your article and knowing what's going on, it might have been a little bit too late for some of it because the damage is already done to some of the companies with the EPA's restrictions and mandates. And I thought the irony, Marita, at the beginning when we're talking about that EPA can't meet the
ethanol mandates.
They can't meet those mandates, and yet they turn around and hammer everybody else in the head over their mandates and regulations. Anyway, I thought we ought to talk about this Supreme Court.
Good analogy on that, Bethann. Good analogy.
It just goes to irony is just one of my favorite things.
That definitely is ironic. So, but yeah, as you said, it was for conservatives. It was a tough week with the EPA. But on Monday last week, they came out with their decision against the EPA, and it was definitely against the EPA. And they really smacked down the EPA, and depending on the headlines you read, but they all say, you know, the EPA lost on this one, but at the same time, they won. And as I say in my column, in my little fantasy world, I picture some folks at the White House in a dark room, a back room with fantasy, it's a smoke-filled room with a single light bulb hanging from a wire in the ceiling, and they're rubbing their hands in glee and saying, ha, 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 they think they won, but really what this EPA decision or this Supreme Court decision showed is that the Obama administration, hence the EPA and other agencies as well, can issue all kinds of rules, all kinds of unreasonable rules, and by the time that rule wends its way through the legal system and ends up at the Supreme Court where it might get smacked down, the impact has already been felt. If you listen to what the EPA said in response to this, they basically are responding with a shrug to the Supreme Court's decision, which on its face smacked down the EPA, but the EPA is like, oh, well, it really doesn't matter because we issued this rule 3 years ago. And the majority of the companies, and I quote Charles Patton, the CEO of American Electric Power, in my column, and he acknowledges that they've already shut down coal-fired power plants. They've already put scrubbers on. They've already done, what they need to do to comply. And so the pain has already been felt, even though the EPA, even though the Supreme Court said to the EPA, no, you did this wrong, you must consider cost of compliance when you make these regulations. So for the specific rule on which the Supreme Court made the decision, it's really pretty much too late because almost all the implementation has already been done. But there is perhaps an impact on future regulation, particularly the Clean Power Plan, which is expected to be released. The final version is expected to be released next month. And so there's a lot of people, experts that I've talked to, believe that the Supreme Court decision will delay the release of the final version of the Clean Power Plan because they're going to have to go back now, as the Supreme Court admonished, and factor in the economic cost of that rule.
I was going to say the cost that they're costing these companies and the American people.
Right, because we're the ones who ultimately pay for it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we're paying for an awful lot. And, you know,
to be nickeled and dimed.
And when we talked about at the beginning what was happening in Europe, they're trying to mimic that, and it's been a failure in Europe. It's absolutely failed there, and people are dying because they can't stay warm in the winter, and, you know, they can't afford this green energy because it's just not there yet. It may never be there. And we have this other, and we have it clean. We have clean air, but they keep trying to tell us we don't. I thought the one, he said they don't want any. They want zero carbon. Well, do they mean they don't want any trees? They don't want any plants? They don't want anything?
You know, it's like, yeah, because all those plants depend on carbon.
Absolutely. So they just want to get rid of all of it. You know, it's ridiculous what they've done and what they continue to do. And I thought when I read that article, you know, it's already a little bit too late, but maybe it will make a difference for what they propose next, you know, on their big plan.
Well, so, and the other good thing about it is there's some new legislation. I mean, I cite in my column Justice Anton Scalia last year when there was a decision that where the EPA basically won. It was a big decision, but in his dissent, he states, and I'm not quoting this is a paraphrase, but you probably have it in front of you in the column, but in his dissent, he states, if Congress or if EPA was not intended to regulate this huge portion of the economy, then Congress needs to pass legislation to that effect. And Congress has now done that. The House has passed one bill. The Senate has another bill in front of them that it's expected to pass, and they're going to have to then reconcile them. The question is, will Obama sign such legislation if it comes out? But we are seeing some legislation come through Congress that will blunt the impact of some of EPA's rulemaking.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I'll tell you what, I don't trust the EPA any farther than I can throw them. I can't throw much very far, so we're going into a break.
And you should not.
We're going into a break, and when we come back, I want to continue this conversation, but I also want to talk about the renewable energy investment because, you know, John brought up the funding, and I think there's some little irony in these two. We're going into a break. Your calls are welcome at 877-895-5410. Marita and Beth Ann will be right back.
Are you a David? There are wolves, sheep, and sheepdog. And then there are shepherds. Just as young King David faced the impossible battle with the feared giant Goliath, we face giants today as well. Do we run or do we stand our ground? Our federal government is the epitome of corruption. Abuse of power and deceit have enslaved we the people. Property rights are non-existent. Gun owners are treated as terrorists. Citizens are plundered and reaped of rights and liberties. Is there a solution? Yes, you are the solution. You, the patriotic, the local peace officer, you, the elected official, the county sheriff. You must stand with faith, humility, and the strength of a warrior, as young David did. You are the solution. Order the book, Are You a David? By Sheriff Mack. Go to csctalkradio.com or send $15 to P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. Be a shepherd in your community. csctalkradio.com.
Talk.com.
Gold is an investment. Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver is CSC Talk Radio's choice for gold, silver, and all your precious metals. Gold and silver are the ultimate forms of wealth. They are beautiful and alluring to virtually everyone on Earth. They are extremely scarce and can't be counterfeited. Your contact, your trusted dealer, is Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver. Discount Gold and Silver take pride in their business practices. No hard pressure sales, no boiler room tactics. Low prices, quality products, fast shipping. For all your gold, silver, platinum, and palladium needs, buy and sell. Discount Gold and Silver take pride in the fact that they educate their clients so that you can make an informed decision. Visit Melody Cederstrom at DGScoins.com or call her at 1-800-375-4188. DGScoins.com or 1-800-375-4188. Discount Gold and Silver is the common sense way to invest. BioAg, working with nature naturally. CSC Talk Radio is excited to welcome Murray Bast with BioAg as a new common sense sponsor in natural agriculture. BioAg consultants and distributors are devoted. They understand working with nature. Since 1982, their mission has been to produce and supply products and services that warrant and support true sustainable agriculture. They've done the research. BioAg is a major supplier of natural products and services for livestock and crop production. Visit bio-ag.com and research for yourself. Tell your local farm and home suppliers to become BioAg distributors. From chelate minerals, vitamins, and more, bioag.com has all the products you need. Work with nature naturally to improve your bottom line as well as improve your products and health. Serving all of North America, visit bio-ag.com or just give them a call at 1-800-363-5278.
It was once said, the pen is mightier than the sword. We're living in a time now that is demanding the Republic to speak up. Grievances need to be put before our elected officials. They need to hear from you. Mainstream media isn't telling the constitutional truth about issues in this nation. There's an agenda afoot that's being used against we the people. Commit now to send at least one of your representatives the pen. There will be no excuse for their lack of knowledge. Pick your state or national representative and senators, or even your governor. It's time to bring common sense back into our governing. Let the Republic be heard. The Pen is a bi-monthly publication for only $24.95. Order yours and order theirs. $24.95 per subscription. CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Order four and get the fifth one free. For credit card, visit csctalkradio.com. CSC Talk Radio listeners are reaching out to bring America home.
And we have returned. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Anna visiting today with Marita Noon. It's the quickest hour of the day. We're in the final segment of the show. We do have another caller from Missouri. We have Bill. Bill, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Got wet last night.
But... yeah, well, lots of us did. What's on your mind?
Same here.
Well, I was just wondering if either one of you had heard of, there's a movie on or a program on, I've seen it a couple of times. It was on something like Link TV or one of those channels, but the name of it was The Gas Hole.
Hmm.
And it's just what it says. It pretty much says that the oil companies have got us where they want us and hang on. I thought it lasted 3 hours the first time I watched it. But second time it was two. But it pretty much says that they're going to fight this ethanol and everything against the oil companies. It's possible.
Marita?
Well, I'm not familiar with that, but I know that there are a lot of theories out there, and I can just affirm that the work that I have done does not validate that. As I said earlier, that my sources tell me that regardless of whether they do away with the ethanol mandate, for example, that they're going to continue to use ethanol in gasoline because it's a valuable additive. So, I mean, every industry wants to protect their market share, which is what we've seen, for example, Saudi Arabia doing and pumping more gasoline as they're trying to protect their market share. And that's what we're also seeing in the solar industry, as Beth Ann wanted to get in our last segment of the show.
Right. Another thing, they don't publicize the use of DGEs at all, hardly. They've got the public thinking that if you use a bushel of corn for ethanol, it's gone. And I think ethanol takes approximately a third of the corn, the kernel, maybe.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I was not tracking with you on what you're saying. Yes. Yeah, there's a fact I have in front of me right in my hand, Ethanol Producer Magazine, I have in my hand. And in this article, they're talking about all the different parts, all the different products they get out of that kernel of corn. The article headline is Cracking the Kernel for Higher Value Products. And they're talking about how many different products they get out of that corn in addition to the product that makes ethanol.
Right. Well, yeah. Appreciate the time. And
all right.
I'll tell you here.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the call.
Well, you're welcome.
In the final article that we have here today, I love the irony. I love the irony. The best renewable energy investment. So we're talking about investment as we go and as we get into this discussion. The thought that came through my head, of course, you know how I am, Marita, is
yes.
When the president says you didn't build this by yourself. And, you know, then we talk about these renewable fuels. We talk about this green and all the supplements, all the tax credits and everything they're getting and all the government money that's going into the research and the funding and to help people put up solar panels, to help get the wind energy going. You know, it's our money that's building it, and yet it's costing us more in the long run. So I thought they truly didn't build it by themselves either, because, you know, government can't do anything unless they take our money first. So I thought we'd talk about this just a little bit.
Exactly, and that's a key point, because whenever you talk about the government doing something, it's important to realize that it's our taxpayer dollars that are funding that and making it happen, and I think it's important to continually point that out. But specifically what I point out in this column is, I got to say, I had a fun time writing this column.
I could tell that you did.
I was just going to ask, I don't know if you could tell.
I could tell.
I found this. I had so much fun writing this piece. I had a lot of fun writing the piece I did to Ben Carson a month or two ago. And this one was also one that was really fun to write, because what someone in my network, you know, because I do a lot of radio, I'm published in a lot of places, people send me a lot of information. And someone last week sent me a link to the initial public offering, it's called the IPO, of Sun Run Inc., which is a solar leasing company, essentially. And as I read through the 234 pages of fine print in this IPO, which is linked in my column, so for people who check that out, they can see, you know, I always put my sources in there. I want people to know that I do my research. I'm not making this stuff up. But repeatedly throughout the IPO, the Form S-1 that people have to file with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Sunrun acknowledges that they need the government funding and incentives to allow them to function. And they repeatedly say things such as, if these are removed, our model may not be effective. And here it says, changes in net metering policies may significantly reduce demand for electricity from our solar service offerings. And so what I've done in this column is really to use their own words, and I love seeing that finally they're admitting that they can't survive without these direct subsidies and regulatory requirements that we, the taxpayers, and we, the ratepayers, so we're paying twice for this more expensive energy.
So they didn't build it by themselves, and, you know, I'm kind of tired of funding them.
Yeah, well, that's the premise of my column. And the interesting thing is within their own filing, it says that only 1% of the households in America, page 88, residential solar has penetrated less than 1% of the 83 million single-family detached homes in the United States. So they're using this to say, look, there's a huge market still out there for us. And I've taken it to say, wait, the 99% of us are paying so the 1% can have solar panels on their roof.
If there's something wrong with that picture, and you know,
I hope people see it that way.
They need to see it that way. You know, we had a caller one time that was talking about how he got some of those. He did it, and he was talking about all the money that he got out of it. You know, it's that's coming out of your pocket, my pocket, and my listeners' pockets, and we need to start realizing they're wasting our money, and they're just taking it and spending it and throwing it at their agendas. And it's time that that stopped. And it's time we're out of time, Marita. It's been a wonderful show with you today, as always. You do bring
Thank
energy.
You, so much.
You bring a lot of energy to CSE Talk Radio. We appreciate all that you do. Folks, it's going to take every one of us. Every topic, every issue that we cover is very important. It's very important for rural America. It's very important for all America. And it's time that we come together and put the truths out there and realize that it's time that we stand and bring America home.
Are you nearing eligibility for Medicare benefits? Then you know now is an important time in your life. Medicare can be a complicated puzzle. The wrong choice can cost you money, and you may be locked into the plan until the annual enrollment period. And the right choice may save you money and maximize your Medicare benefits all year long. Let the Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. With one free phone call, a licensed insurance agent will help you find a Medicare plan that's right for your medical needs and budget. Call now to learn more. 800-342-8981. 800-342-8981. If you're now eligible for Medicare, call today to discuss your options. 800-342-8981. 800-342-8981. Health Markets Insurance Agency is a DBA or assumed name of InSphere Insurance Solutions Incorporated, which is an authorized insurance agency in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service and product availability varies by state.
CSC Talk Radio's goal is to bring America home. That includes you and your business. Radio is a powerful way to brand your company and increase your profits. Find out how to join CSC Talk Radio, help educate and activate America, and grow your business at the same time. Looking for new customers? Looking to have your business reaching out from sea to shining sea? Advertise with CSC Talk Radio. Believe in your product? Let Beth Ann be your personal spokesperson to properly brand your product and company. It's simple, easy, and affordable. Grow your business, grow common sense, and together we will bring America home. To be a part of CSC Talk Radio, call 573-796-2166. That's 573-796-2166. Or send email to beth@csctalkradio.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-959-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-959-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-959-MY-TV. That's 877-959-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call 877-959-MY-TV. That's 877-959-MY-TV.